Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us this day. Today we're going to be reflecting upon, again, the love of our Heavenly Father, who sent His Son Jesus to die for us and loves us with an endless love. But we're going to begin our service actually with a baptism. So I'd like to invite everyone forward who's going to be participating in this baptism to come on up. I'll have you come kind of over to this area here. All right, it's in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." How is she named? Olivia Faye Niblock, receive the sign of the cross both on your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. We pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have brought Amelia to be baptized this day. I thank you for her parents who've faithfully followed you and have brought her to this day, and pray that you be with her every day of her life. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. Again, we recognize and ask our sponsors to very much care about the spiritual well-being of Olivia as well as her physical well-being. And so, sponsors, I ask you to pray regularly for Olivia. Every time that she comes to your mind, say a prayer for her well-being, for her spiritual well-being. And as she gets older, as you have opportunity to talk to her about the faith, take those opportunities. And so if you're thinking, yeah, I can do that, then say yes with the help of God. Fantastic. That's what I like to hear. All right. So we're going to bring Miss Olivia over here. All right. Olivia Faye Niblock, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, just as we do candles on our birthdays, we do candles on our baptismal birthday. And so we have this candle reminding us about how today God claimed you as his own, and marked you as his child. I know it's shiny and pretty. And so, I encourage you as parents to consider, on March or on May 3rd, every year, light that candle and tell Olivia about her baptism, about the day that God claimed her as his own. All right. Let's give thanks to what God has done this day for Olivia. All right. Thank you very much. All right, please stand as we begin our service, remembering our baptisms and beginning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you call us to be your own, that you pursue us even when we cling to our sin, when we run away from you, that you love us and fiercely go after us. And so, Lord, this day I pray that you'd help us to cast all worries and fears aside and just listen to you. Listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
giver of every breath I bring, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, do you be the glory, maker of heaven.
Shout out your praise. joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Rabe, and I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And it's a beautiful morning outside. We're enjoying it. The first reading today is from the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 1 to 12. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon and scripture reading for today comes from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning, friends. How are we today? Are you good? It's so good to be with you here today. Well, I need your help a little bit. I need your help with some hand motions. Do you think you can do that? Okay, you ready? Let me see your hands. Okay, the first one is God knows us. Very good. The second one, act like you're sewing. God made us. And then point to your heart. God loves us. So let's talk about the first one. What was the first one? God knows us. It's such a blessing to be known. Who here has someone who knows what their favorite breakfast is?
Who knows?
Who knows, Catherine? Who knows that? Who knows what your favorite breakfast is? Oh, God probably does. But who else in your house? Your mom or your dad? Maybe your mom knows your favorite snack or your favorite breakfast. Or maybe your dad knows your favorite game to play. Or maybe you have a really good friend who knows when you're happy or sad. Isn't it a blessing to be known so well? Isn't it? Guess who knows us even more than that? God does. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so God knows us. The next one, God made us. Who here can tell me something that you love about yourself? What's something, Elijah, you love about yourself? You love that God loves you? I love that. What's something you love about yourself? That sometimes you're silly. Do you know what? God made that. Isn't that awesome? I love that, Liam. What else do you love about yourself? What do you love about yourself? That you are, like, you're very loving and you hug your parents. Catherine, what do you love about yourself? What'd you say? That you're unique. I love that. What about you, Zoe? What do you love about yourself? You're a good friend and you love people. God did that. God made some of you really silly and some of you serious. And he made some of you artists or sports people. God made us. And I did the sewing thing because even more, if you go in the psalm even more that we read, it said God knit you together in your mother's womb. So before you were even born, God knew the perfect creature he was going to create in you. We're not perfect because we sin, but he made you perfectly, the way he wanted. Okay, who remembers the last one? God loves us. God loves you so very much. Whether you're having a good day or a bad day, does God love you no matter what? Do you ever have to hide from God? No, he knows where you are. He knows your thoughts and your feelings, and you're never, ever alone because God is with you. Can you point to that cross? God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you and forgive all of your sins. Isn't that amazing? And then he rose again. I love that. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So let's point to our heads. God knows us. God made us. And God loves us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all of these amazing children that are here today. And we thank you that no matter what, you love us all the time. And we thank you so much for sending your one and only son, Jesus, to die and rise and forgive all our sins. Please help us to share this message with everyone that we meet. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I find that the way you are thinking about things, where you're at mentally, really shapes the way that you approach God's word, especially when it comes to the Psalms. And I imagine that's true of any poetry, but being as formative as it is, God's word, really just where you're at, what you're experiencing in life at that moment really shapes your understanding. Let me give you an example. So there was a young man who felt that it was best that he would run away, actually. He felt like his father was too stifling, had too many rules, and just really didn't have the freedom that he wanted to experience. And so he ran away. But having run away, then he found it was very difficult, both life and also coming to terms with kind of how it all played out. And so in his stress and his kind of frustration with things, he turned to alcohol to try to cope through things. And from alcohol, it went on to drugs, and from drugs to harder drugs. And eventually the drugs were so expensive that he felt like, well, the only way that I can afford these is to try to gamble because I'm not earning enough for my job. And so he got into gambling and then racked up so much debts that he found he couldn't really get out. And so he ended up working for organized crime. And then from there, it continued to spiral. And finally, he gets word that someone is looking for him. And so he decides to flee. He's not sure at this point after fleeing whether it's the, you know, police that's after him or the mob boss or who it is that's pursuing him. But every time he goes to a place for a while, gets a new job, finds a place to live, and then he hears again, someone is pursuing you. And again, he picks up everything and flees again and again and again. On the other side of town, you have a father who is distraught over his son who's entrapped, who's functionally a slave to his addictions. Just can't seem to get himself free, and so with a reckless pursuit, the father says, I desire to have my son back that he might be free. And he goes from place to place trying so desperately to get his son back, to restore that relationship, to help his son to realize the better life that he can have. I tell you this story because I feel that sometimes, depending on where we find ourselves in life, you might hear the words, oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. And we might approach that like that son who ran away. In other words, those might not be words of comfort, but words of terror. Because we know the sins that we have done, and we know how we have insisted on our own way in life. And it's the idea that a God knows everything about us can be terrifying. Again, the mental framework that you approach God's word can really shape your understanding and perspective in that moment of how it is that it hits you and strikes you. And really at the heart of this is a question of, well, who is God? What is his character like? What does he feel about his people? And to answer that question, then I have from our gospel text today. It's interesting, all of this is taking place on the night where Jesus is betrayed and he's going to be captured, he's going to be on trial before the Sanhedrin, he's going to go before Pilate, all of this. And it's interesting to me, what is on Jesus' mind? What is the most important thing? In other words, Jesus, knowing what's about to happen, he's already predicted multiple times how he is going to be betrayed, he's going to be handed over, he's going to die. He knows this is coming. But what does he feel is the most important thing to think about in that moment? And it's astounding that it's his disciples. Just a chapter earlier, he's thinking about what is about to happen. He says, you know what's really important? I need to teach my disciples a lesson. And not an angry, how dare you lesson, but rather a mild and gentle, grabbing a towel, he begins to wash his disciples' feet. In other words, he takes the lowest position in the house and says, I will be a servant to all of you, and I will do the grossest job that needs to be done. Give me those stinky feet. And he washes and he washes. And he does it because he wants to teach his disciples, you know what really matters in this life? It's not about lording your authority over others. It's not about insisting on you got to be the biggest and the best. It's not about insisting that everyone else look to you. But rather, the most important thing is seeing you have opportunities to serve others. Jesus says, just as I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash other people's feet. And then right after teaching his disciples this important lesson before he's about to die, Peter says, I'll follow you wherever I go. I'd follow you even to death. And Jesus says, Peter, I got to be honest with you. It's not going to play out that way. No, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me multiple times. And I can picture Jesus then thinking about what he just told Peter and what's about to happen. And again, his thoughts in that moment, surprisingly, are not on his own pain and suffering, but rather on this one who he knows is going to be grieved and in anguish after these things take place. And so he says to all his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll take you to myself that I know where you may be also. Where I am, you may be also. So again, I just want to note, like, Jesus knows that he's going to be captured. They're all going to scatter. Peter's going to follow at a distance. He's going to deny them. Going to deny following Jesus for those 3 years. And yet, his mind is on his disciples and their needs. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but I assure you, I am coming back. Let me give you these promises now. Understandably, Thomas is there and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And again, Jesus, caring about them, says, the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I just want to take those two things to get back to what I was saying before of the question of how do you know the character of God? How do you know if the creator of the whole universe, the one who clearly cares about the big picture things, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so you could be redeemed to him, but does he care about everything else? Does he care about your struggles? Does he care about what you're going through? Does he care about you? I mean, he's big way up there. Why would he be so mindful of man? And yet, Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You want to know what the Heavenly Father is like? Look at me. Listen to my words. And the one who the Father is in and he is in the Father, he says to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. And so thinking on this, we look again to the psalm. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before his word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in from behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wings in the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light is but night about me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. I don't know all of your struggles. I don't know all of your darknesses. I don't know all of the things you are facing in this life, but I know that this world is still sinful. And because it's still sinful, it's still in rebellion of the Creator who desires good for his creation. In light of that knowledge, then I know you have struggles, just as I have struggles. All of us have things that make this life difficult, things that make us wonder, how can I go on at times? But I also know that you have a God who has knit your innermost being, a God who loves you with an endless love, a God who knows when you lie down, when you get up, he knows wherever you go. And as you go, he is not a pursuer desiring to bring you back to punishment, but rather to bring you back into a relationship with him, to guide you with his hand and to walk with you wherever you might go. So take comfort in this knowledge. Take comfort in the knowledge that the one who created all things, who sustains all things, who redeemed all things, loves you and cares for you. Desires a relationship with you. Desires that the sins which ever so often ensnare you and entangle, I can't speak, that snare you up, entangle you, those are the words I was trying to say, that trip you, that you feel like you cannot be free on your own, those sins that your Heavenly Father says, I don't want this for you, let me help you. Let me release you from your prison and guide you in the way of life. Do not run from him, but receive his warm embrace and saying, my child, I love you. I have a better way for you. Follow me. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in love, still I will say, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do not just leave us to our own devices, but rather your desire for us is life. And so you pursue us, desiring us to be whole. I thank you that you know all of our thoughts, and I pray that we would look to you to support us in our time of need. Lord, I thank you for bringing Olivia Faye Niblock to the waters of holy baptism, that you have claimed her as your child, that you've given her the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith. I pray that you would grow and sustain that faith all the days of her life. Lord, I pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Lillian Edmiston, the sister of Grace Davenport. I pray that you would give them comfort at this time as they're feeling that loss and that separation, but knowing that it is a temporary one, knowing that because she is in you, that they will see Lillian again. And Lord, I pray that you be with Vicki Johnson, who has surgery that was moved to this week. I pray that the surgery would happen and that it be a successful surgery and that she would recover well. And Lord, I just pray for our national leadership, especially this day. I pray for President Trump. I pray that you give him wisdom as he serves in his role as president, being mindful of the needs of all of his people. As I pray in your Son's holy name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
I love thee, I know. hear our prayer. We are your children, and we gather here today. We gather here to pray. Hear our cry. We need your mercy.
Please stand. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite anyone who's going to Sunday school to go meet our DC Lauren Bates in the back, and she'll get you where you need to go. We have a family meeting on May 17th, so I invite all of you to please come to that, get to know what's going on here in your congregation. It's really good. Also on that same day, we have a bake sale that is going to support the youth who are going on the Arizona mission trip, so please be ready to buy some yummy treats. Lastly, again, we have, today is the last day for a security questionnaire that was sent out that's going to be open for your feedback. Again, there hasn't been any issues or anything, but mostly we're just trying to know the desires, the wills of the congregation when it comes to that particular topic. And so if you have not yet filled it out and you're interested, please do so. Otherwise, thanks for coming today. Blessings on your week. God be with you.